The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 29, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshanda Sathikari, recorded on January 1st, 2009, in Miraflores, Peru.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 29.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhaktaram japatapasam
sarvalokamaheshvaram
suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantam ritchati.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this: Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of a Lord because He is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than He. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Vaitashvatara Upanishad 6-7, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, is described as Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshvaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are His subordinates. One can attain perfect peace only in complete Krishna consciousness. This fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question of mental speculation as to how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with a complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga is a path leading to bhakti yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Absolute. And the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as His fragmental part and parcel. He comes into contact with Maya illusion due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter. For it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which helps one control the senses in every respect and conquer the influence of desire and anger. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains factually in the transcendental stage, or Brahma Nirvana. The Eightfold Yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. There is a gradual process of elevation in the practice of Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dhanana, Jhana, and Samadhi. But these only preface perfection by devotional service, which alone can award peace to the human being. It is the highest perfection of life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of karma yoga, or action in Krishna consciousness.
Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Pradijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So, what is the point? What lesson must we derive from these words of Krishna? If we are going to hear the words of Krishna, we must derive some lesson. Otherwise, we are wasting our time. We must learn some lesson by hearing the words of Krishna. We must learn a lesson that will change our life. So, what is the lesson? La lección is that Krishna owns everything. Lima is the property of Krishna. Peru is the property of Krishna. South America is the property of Krishna. The whole world, todo el mundo, is the property of Krishna. The whole universe. Everything throughout the entirety of existence is the property of Krishna. That means that you don't own anything. Nir mama. Nothing is mine. But you know one thing that we do own? We own the false conception that I am the owner. That is the only thing we own.
Es la única cosa que sí nos
pertenece. The false conception that I am the owner.
La concepción falsa de que yo soy el dueño.
So that you must give up.
Y eso tenemos que dejar.
You must give up the false conception that you are the owner.
Tenemos que dejar el concepto falso de que nosotros somos dueños.
Why? Because that false sense of proprietorship is causing you to suffer. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Do you like to be miserable? Or do you like to be happy? Felicidad or miserable? You see. What do you want? If you want to be happy, then you must give up this false sense of proprietorship. Do you think that body belongs to you? How can you claim proprietorship even over your body? It is all the energy of Krishna. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kangmano buddhare vacho ahankara itiyang me vinaparakritam ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight constitute my separated material energies.
Aire, tierra, agua, éter, etcétera, etcétera, y ego falso, todos son partes de mi energía separada.
So that body is not your property. That is the energy of Krishna. Your house is not your property.
Su casa tampoco es su propiedad.
Your automobile, it is not your property.
Su carro tampoco.
Your clothes, your bank balance, your husband, your wife, your kids, it is not your property.
Ni su ropa, ni su cuenta bancaria, ni su esposo, esposa, ni sus hijos.
I would like to ask you a question.
Me gustaría hacerle una pregunta.
If you claim ownership over somebody else's property, what does that make you?
Si ustedes hacen amistad con una persona a quien algo le pertenece, ¿no?
No, si reclama propiedad sobre las cosas de otros.
Si reclama
propiedad sobre las cosas de otros. ¿Cómo? ¿En qué se convierte?
¿En qué se convierte? Ok, sí.
If you claim ownership over somebody else's property, you are a thief. Subject to be arrested by the police and put in jail, you see. You cannot claim the property of someone else. You have to Allow the owner to enjoy that property. You cannot enjoy someone else's property. So therefore, we have to let Krishna enjoy. Everything is for Krishna's enjoyment. If we try to enjoy anything without offering it to Krishna, we are thieves. And thus we are subject to punishment by the stringent laws of material nature. We may escape the police of Lima. But you will never escape the police of Krishna. Krishna and his agents see everything that we are doing. Krishna has one agent, his name is Yamaraj. Yamaraj is taking careful note of every sinful thing that we do. Someone has to pay. It is the court of Yamaraj. Pagado, huh? Paid. Yeah. Yes, you must pay for your any sinful actions. You must pay for them. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord, he lives a very pure life. He follows the path of the Mahajanas. Mahajana yena gatatapanta. Prabhu, can you sit up, please? Yeah, sit up, sit up. Don't. Sit up. Yeah, very good. You need to hear this. I've come all the way from Australia to give you this message, so you should kindly hear nicely. So, this is the greatest benefit. I am simply coming as a messenger on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has given me the greatest mercy. He has given me the greatest blessing. So I have come many, many thousands of miles simply to give it to you. Because I want you to be happy. I don't want you to have any unhappiness in your life. I want you to be full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of love. You see, this is Krishna consciousness. I have come here to give you all the greatest gift that Prabhupada has given me, Krishna consciousness. I want you all to become pure devotees of Krishna. I was telling Gita Govinda today that become a pure devotee of Krishna. We may say, well, being a devotee is okay, but I'm not really ready to be a pure devotee yet. I still want to enjoy my senses. A little Krishna, a little Maya. But you know what? You can never be happy, fully happy, as long as you have a love affair with Maya Devi. If you want to be completely, totally satisfied in your life, then you have to learn how to completely get rid of Maya from your life. You see. The more you have Maya, the Christians call Maya as Satan. They call Satan, Maya Satan. You see. What did Jesus Christ say? He says, Satan, get behind me. Leave me alone. So, devotee, he's Maya, get out of here, you see. You leave me alone, Maya. I want nothing to do with you. This is the devotee's determination. He does not want to be carried away by Maya's tricks. She is like a pickpocket. He will steal your money out of your pocket. Maya will steal your human life away. You are forced to become animal in your next life. So one must be very, very careful not to be a servant of Maya. One must be servant of Krishna. Because what happens if you serve Krishna? Do you know what happens if you serve Krishna? Do you know? So, that's very good, but I didn't answer my question. The question is, do you know what happens when you serve Krishna? That is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna Mamupechita Kaunteya Punarjanma Navidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place, but one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, Punar Janma Navidyate, he never takes birth again.
De todos los planetas, de los planetas más elevados hasta planetas infernales, todo.
En todo hay sufrimiento
y miseria.
So if you go to Krishna, Punar Janma Navidyate, you never take any more material body. You get an eternal body full of knowledge and bliss. A body that never gets old. A body that never gets sick. A body that never dies. You can enjoy, you simply enjoy an eternal life in the spiritual world with Krishna and his devotees. So that's what happened. For those who follow this verse, So I can ask now if there's any questions. ¿Hay preguntas? It's muy beneficial to learn verses in Sanskrit. Why? Because the more you learn verses, when you look out at Lima, you will see Lima through the eyes of Bhagavad Gita. Just like, I noticed this gentleman here, he is wearing glasses, you see. Without his glasses, he cannot see very well. But with his glasses on, he can see very nicely, you see. So this Shastra, it is like glasses, you can see through the eyes of Shastra, you can see things clearly as they are. Pero if you don't have Shastric vision, then your vision will be blurry. You will see everything on the basis of the body. So therefore you must learn verses. Prabhupada said he wanted his devotees to know these books like a lawyer knows the law books. When you preach, you must quote Shastra. And if you don't know Shastra, how you'll preach? And if you don't preach, you're disobeying Lord Chaitanya's order to preach. So therefore, you must learn verses. Do you know any verses of Bhagavad Gita? Are any verses at all? Do you know any shlokas? Poquito? Now you make it muy grande. Many, many verses. So you can give very erudite lectures on the science of bhakti. You are meant to become a great preacher. Who can deliver thousands of people back to Krishna Loka. So do not remain dull head. Do not remain a dullard, a dull head. Use your brain to learn this philosophy. Any other questions? Yes, Balaram is known for, there is some type of honey, but some Varuni beverage. Yeah.
Yes, es verdad. Hay diferentes tipos de miel, hay Varuni.
Balaram can take honey in unlimited quantities with no problem.
Balaram puede tomar miel en cualquier cantidad sin problema.
But if you take too much honey, you will become lusty and sick.
Pero si nosotros vamos a tomar cualquier cantidad de miel, nos enfermamos.
So you should only take honey in moderation.
Así que tenemos que con moderación tomar miel.
It arouses emotive passion if you take too much honey.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
I have a question.
You were talking about that we should practice Krishna consciousness so we can develop some taste for going to the spiritual world, right? What happens when sometimes devotees have so many years away and we don't have any taste or to go to the spiritual world?
How you can get the taste?
How we can live being the bodies and don't have that feeling that
she's saying that you said in your lecture that you give up something to get back to Krishna Loka. So many years we practice but we don't get the taste, and how to do that?
I can give you the secret, Mataji.
Estamos practicando conciencia de Krishna y poco a poco estamos recibiendo el gusto, ¿cierto? Entonces, ¿qué pasa? Que a veces nosotros practicamos conciencia de Krishna, pero todavía no tenemos este gusto. ¿Y cómo desarrollarlo?
Para llegar al mundo espiritual, a Krishna.
So, what you're saying is verdad. One must develop taste for bhakti. Only if one has a taste for bhakti will you go back to Krishna. So how to develop that taste for
bhakti?
We want to relish that taste of bhakti, you see. Bhakti ras. We want to taste bhakti ras. What is it? Deseamos bhakti ras. Yes. So, how do you get that bhakti ras? If you remember that Krishna is the enjoyer, not you. This will help you to get that bhakti rasa. Instead of you trying to get taste out of bhakti, you should try to do bhakti to give taste to Krishna. Let him enjoy your bhakti.
En vez de que nosotros tratemos de obtener este gusto de bhakti, preparemos de hacer que Krishna disfrutará del bhakti, del gusto.
Don't you try to get taste. You try to give taste to
Krishna.
When you chant his names, chant it so that he relishes the way you are chanting. Try to do everything in a way that Krishna will get taste from your service. And to the degree that Krishna gets taste from your service, to that degree you will get taste.
Y a la medida de que Krishna esté disfrutando de lo que nosotros hacemos, nosotros vamos a recibir este gusto.
Ye yatamang prapadyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, to that extent I reward them. So you will experience bhakti ras to the degree that you give Krishna pleasure by your service. So I see you have a child on your lap. You must raise that child as an offering to Krishna. That is Krishna's baby. And you are the caretaker on behalf of Krishna. So in this way, if you do everything for Krishna's pleasure, and this is your husband, must be your husband, yeah. Try to serve your husband in such a way that Krishna is pleased. You see. And the husband, he must also serve you in a way that Krishna is pleased. And together as husband and wife, you must serve your child in a way that Krishna is pleased. And when you give taste to Krishna, then you will get taste. So don't try to get taste, try to give taste. That is the secret by which you will get unlimited taste. Sabe? Very nice question. Thank you for your nice question, Maharaj.
I'll say it first in English and then I'll translate it into Spanish. I was reading Upadesamrita yesterday.
Which?
The Upadesamrita.
Upadesamrita, okay.
Nectar of Instruction. And Prabhupada was explaining the different levels of devotees, the Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttamadikari.
That's right.
When he defines the Uttamadikari, he says that the Uttamadikari chants 16 rounds and follows the four principles with no fault. Does that mean that even in the Madhyamadikari state, you cannot be chanting your 16 rounds or following the four principles without fault? En el Upadesamrita que estaba leyendo, Prabhupada explicaba los tres niveles de los devotos canista, Madhyamadikari y Uttamadikari, y cuando él definía las características del Uttamadikari, el devoto más elevado, él decía que era aquel que cantaba sus 16 rondas y seguía los cuatro principios sin caer, sin ninguna falla. Mi pregunta es si eso significa que en el estado incluso de Madhyamadikari, el devoto intermedio, uno podría estar cayendo en los cuatro principios y no cantando sus 16 rondas.
The Madhyamadikari, he can chant 16 rounds and follow the four principles without fault. One distinction that Srila Prabhupada makes between the Madhyamadikari and the Uttamadikari is the depth of spiritual realization. The Madhyamadikari has firm faith in the Shastra. But he does not have the expertise of the Uttama Adhikari for defeating all opposing arguments. The Uttama Adhikari, he's Digvijay Pandit. He can defeat everybody. He is expert in the science of presenting Krishna consciousness to all types of people. That's one difference. Of course, there are many differences, but that difference Prabhupada makes, that distinction he makes. The Madhyam has firm faith in scripture, but he cannot always defeat the opposing argument. Because his realization is not as deep as the Uttama. But he will become, if he remains strict, he will become Uttama.
Eso acaso significa que pierde su capacidad de vencer los argumentos de los demás cuando baja esa plataforma.
So, it is also stated that the Uttamadhikari, he is on a high level where he sees that everyone is serving Krishna. Every jiva throughout the totality of existence is serving Krishna perfectly except for himself. Uttam. So, in order to preach, he has to come down to the level of Madhyama Adhikari. Where he makes distinction. Here is the Lord, here is the Lord's devotee, here is the innocent person, and here is the asura, the demon. That is another definition given by Prabhupada. Another definition is the Uttama is always thinking how to spread the, how to push forward this movement at every minute. He's totally absorbed in pushing forward the movement at every minute. Any other questions? Yes, he's most expert.
Does he lose it? Lose. Means he forgets about.
Lose what?
The expertise that he has for defeating the argument.
Yeah. Does he lose that expertise? No. He becomes more expert. The more he becomes humble in his Uttama Adhikari mood, the more he becomes expert at cutting through the hard knot with the granti in the heart of every living entity.
Mataji estaba preguntando si cuando Uttama Adhikari para predicar baja a nivel Madhyama, si él pierde esta cualificación de defender, de vencer en todos.
The Uttama Adhikari is the master surgeon. He wields the surgeon's knife of transcendental knowledge. And he can cut the hridaya granti, the hard knot in the heart of every living entity. He can cut the hard knot in the heart of every single living entity. That's why Uttama Adhikari is called Jagat Guru. He can deliver the whole universe. He is so powerful. Yes.
Some definitions for knowledge for him. For example, a chit is knowledge, jhana is knowledge,
Veda
is knowledge, chit is knowledge. So,
la relación de fondo y cuál es la diferencia de fondo.
So his question is, what's the difference between all these definitions and
understand the question. What's the difference between...
There are a lot of words for knowledge.
Books of knowledge?
No, words.
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 Verses.
No. Words.
Yeah, he's asking that he knows that Veda, the word Veda, the word Chit, and the word Jnana,
yeah,
they all mean knowledge. He wants to know, what's
the subtle distinctions.
The subtle distinctions.
Yes. 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 So you are a grammarian. That's very good. You can be a grammarian for Krishna. So, chit means
chit significa
sat chit ananda, see, eternity knowledge. Yes. Chit shakti, the chit shakti is one of the three elements which constitute the spiritual existence.
Chit shakti es una de las energías que
and jnana is a general term for knowledge. Anything can be considered jnana. Even, you know, mundane knowledge is a type of jnana also.
Jnana es como conocimiento en general. Por ejemplo,
it's like one plus one equals two. That's a type of jnana.
Uno más uno es dos, es también es jnana.
But Veda, that is transcendental knowledge. Divya, there is Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge.
Chit is energia.
Veda is Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge.
And chit, let me translate what chit means because it wasn't...
And chit, I explained.
Yeah, I have to translate it because it wasn't... chit is uno de los tres elementos constitutivos de la materia espiritual, o de la parte espiritual, de la naturaleza espiritual. Chit.
So, I preguntas más. Yeah.
You say that if light combines in Krishna consciousness, so you say...
I'm deaf.
It
so.
Is say that even... Can you get me? It is say...
Tú
lo castigas, ¿verdad? Dice que incluso el pequeño avance en conciencia de Krishna nos salva del peligro más grande.
Yeah, he says that even the slightest advance in Krishna consciousness saves us from the worst
danger
possible.
Bhagavad Gita 2:40. Neha Brikramanashosti Pachavaina Vijate Svopam Up Yashadharma Shatrayate Matobiya. Yes.
There are some devotees that are not following the process of Krishna consciousness to the 100%.
Right.
En su clase usted dijo que si uno comete alguna actividad pecaminosa, ya vamos a tener que pagar por eso naciendo en las especies inferiores de vida.
And you said in your lecture that if we commit any sinful activity, we have to be reborn in a lower species of life.
¿Cómo reconciliamos lo que dice el Bhagavad Gita con lo que usted dijo?
How can we reconcile what you have said with the Bhagavad Gita?
Of course, if one is seriously taking up the path of bhakti,
por supuesto que uno hay que tiene que tomar en serio
he is guaranteed a human birth.
Y eso garantizará el nacimiento como ser humano.
But sometimes there are exceptions. Bala Maharaj, he became a deer.
Bala Maharaj, que nació como
so one should be very careful.
So, así que tenemos que tener cuidado.
Those who do not take up Krishna bhakti, who are simply engaged in sin, they will definitely become animals.
Si no estamos involucrados en Krishna, en conciencia de Krishna, podemos convertirnos.
Indudablemente.
And devotees, generally, they are guaranteed human birth, but they could become an animal. It's possible. It's not generally, but sometimes it does happen.
En términos generales, los devotos
Just like in Mayapur many years ago, there was when all the devotees would leave the temple room and go to the prasadam hall, every evening one dog would come. You see, dog, he is not allowed in the temple. Dog, you know.
Perro.
Perro is not allowed in the temple. So every night when all the devotees would go prasad, he would look around and he would come in and offer his obeisances to the deities. So he was a devotee in a previous life. But somehow by sin he became a dog, but he was Krishna conscious dog. So he must, and he was in Mayapur also. So he must have gone back from his dog body to Goloka Vrindavan after leaving that body. Yeah, there's a difference between somebody who's sincerely trying and who has a fall down and someone who just says, the heck with it, I'm just going to go back to eating meat and raping women, you know. There's a difference. If someone is sincerely trying to become Krishna conscious, they will be protected from animal life. That's a fact. That verse talks about those persons. But one should not think, well, I got initiated, so even if I have illicit sex, eat meat, get intoxication and gambling, at least I'll get a human birth. I wouldn't take it so cheaply if I were you. The Christians do that. All you have to do is accept Jesus and you can do whatever you want. All I got to do is get my diksha and I can do whatever I want because my guru will take all of my karma. Don't try to cheat Krishna. Krishna is the king of cheaters. If you try to cheat Krishna, he will out-cheat you. That Krishna, I have found a loophole in your Bhagavad Gita. I can enjoy sinful life and be protected from the most dangerous type of fear. One must be sincerely trying to become perfect in Krishna consciousness. And then you are protected. Does that reconcile it? Yeah. All right. So now everybody has prasadam, we might as well stop. So, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.